All right, so today we're going deep on a case all about free speech. But there's a twist. Okay, so imagine you're running a business.
Yeah.
Everything's going great. You're selling your product. But then the
Yeah.
government comes knocking. And they tell you that you are legally obligated
Uh-oh.
to pay for ads to promote your entire industry,
Oh, wow.
including like your direct competitors.
That seems a little off, right?
It feels a little strange, right?
Yeah,
And this is
yeah.
exactly what happened in United States v. United Foods. This case went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Huge implications for lawyers
I bet, yeah.
in all sorts of fields.
Yeah.
So what makes this case so fascinating from like a legal perspective?
This case is so fascinating because it really is about like government power
Okay.
versus the First Amendment. Like, how far can the government go to regulate commerce
Right.
when it bumps up against free speech?
Got it.
Specifically, we're talking about commercial speech in this case.
Commercial speech. So that's like advertising.
Exactly. Anything that proposes like a commercial transaction,
Okay.
like advertisements, marketing, could even be labeling in some cases.
So like the government can regulate that more than other types of speech.
Right. Commercial speech has never gotten like the full protection
Okay.
that you would see for political speech or artistic expression.
Gotcha.
So the government does have a little more leeway.
So there is some leeway, but where's the line?
Yeah, where do they draw that line?
Where's the line?
Yeah.
And that is where our mushroom-loving friends
Exactly.
at United Foods come in.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Mushroom Promotion Act.
Okay, so in 1990, Congress passes the Mushroom Promotion Act,
Okay.
and they create this program to, well, promote mushrooms.
Okay. Sounds pretty straightforward. Mushrooms are delicious. I support this.
You would think so,
Yeah.
but there is a little catch here.
Oh, there's a catch. What's the catch?
The program was funded by these mandatory assessments on mushroom producers.
And they would take that money and they would use it for these generic
Yeah.
advertising campaigns to benefit the whole industry.
The whole industry. So not just like this specific company's mushrooms.
Not just one company, all mushrooms.
All mushrooms benefit. Okay, I see where this is going
Right.
because United Foods, they're not going to love this. They don't want to be funding ads for their rivals.
Especially because they were already doing their own
Yeah.
marketing. Like, why do I
Yeah,
gotta?
exactly. And so they said, hold on, this violates our First Amendment rights. We can't be forced
Right.
to support speech that we don't agree with. But didn't the Supreme Court already kind of deal with this? Wasn't there a case with some California fruit growers?
Yes. You're thinking of Glickman v. Wildman Brothers. And this is a very important precedent to think about
Okay.
as we're talking about United Foods. Because in Glickman, the court actually upheld a very similar program
Okay.
for those California fruit growers.
So why the d result? So the difference is this. The scope of the regulation,
Okay.
the program in Glickman, it wasn't just about advertising. It was about
Yeah.
like pricing, quality standards, research,
Wow.
all sorts of things.
The whole nine yards.
The whole nine yards. Generic advertising was just like one little piece
Okay.
of this much bigger regulatory scheme.
So in that case, they were already kind of like,
Deeply enmeshed.
yeah, deeply enmeshed. And this was just a small part of it.
Right.
Okay. But the mushroom program seemed a lot more focused
Yeah.
on just pushing mushrooms. Like, that's it. That's all it was.
Like, we like
We
mushrooms.
love mushrooms.
Yes.
Everyone eat mushrooms.
Yeah.
And so that's what Justice Kennedy kind of honed in on, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
When he was writing his majority opinion. So, what was his reasoning?
So, Justice Kennedy, he basically said that the government, if they want to compel speech,
Right.
they can't do it in isolation. There needs to be a more comprehensive scheme that justifies it. And they were very clear that this mushroom program,
Right.
it wasn't part of this bigger
It
picture.
wasn't limiting freedom in other ways.
It wasn't limiting freedom in other ways. The advertising was the main
It
point.
wasn't just a side
It
effect.
wasn't just a side effect.
Got it. So it sounds like Justice Kennedy was basically drawing a line in the sand and
Yeah.
saying, look, the government can't just force you to pay for these pet projects,
Right.
even if it's supposedly for the good of the industry.
Yeah.
There's got to be a great quote in that
Oh,
opinion
there it is.
that sums this up.
This is my favorite quote from this case. Justice Kennedy writes, First Amendment values are at serious risk if the government can compel citizens to pay subsidies for favored speech.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Laying down the law. Okay, so we've got a pretty clear decision here. But wasn't this split? I thought some of the justices were actually kind of in favor of the mushroom program.
You're right. This was not a unanimous decision. So Justice Breyer, for example,
yeah.
he dissented. He was arguing that that Glickman precedent
yeah.
that should have been applied here
okay.
to the mushroom program. And he was worried that this would really tie the government's hands.
Right.
Like, how can we promote industries if we can't do this sort of thing?
So even if it's in the public interest?
Even if it's something good for the industry, good for the public.
Interesting. So now, before we dive into the other opinions, because I know there were some interesting concurrences here.
Right.
Explain to me why these concurring opinions are important. Like, aren't they just bonus material? I mean, the majority rule, that's it, right?
Right. But no, concurrences are actually really crucial, especially for lawyers.
Okay.
Because they can tell you a lot about the long-term impact of a case. So the majority opinion tells you the what of a decision.
Yeah.
But concurrences often tell you the why.
Right.
And that's where you see how different justices might apply a ruling in future cases.
Gotcha.
Which is so helpful when you're arguing cases.
So they can kind of give us a peek into the future, like how this is going to play out.
A little bit.
A little bit of a crystal ball.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. So what were some of the key takeaways from those concurrences?
Well, Justice Stevens had a really interesting take.
Okay.
He thought that compelled subsidies for speech,
yeah.
like we're seeing in this case, he thought they could be okay.
Okay.
But only if they're part of this much larger cooperative system where the industry was already subject to a lot of collective controls.
So if you're already playing ball.
You're already in it.
You're already in it, yeah.
They're already in the system. They're used to these collective controls.
Okay. The government has a little more leeway. It's not just a one-off, give us your money.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, what about Justice Thomas? Wasn't he the one who's always very...
Oh, yeah.
Strict about free speech.
Yeah.
Like super strict.
Yeah. Justice Thomas went even further.
Okay.
He said forcing anyone to pay for advertising.
Right.
Even for commercial speech, that should always face the highest level of legal scrutiny.
Wow. So he's really championing those free speech rights of businesses.
Yes.
Even when it comes to something that seems as mundane as advertising.
Exactly.
It's the principle.
The principle of it.
It's the principle.
Yeah.
And this is where things get really interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know and love the Got Milk campaign.
Right.
And a lot of other agricultural products have these big marketing campaigns.
Yeah.
So after United Foods, they had to scramble, right?
They did. A lot of those programs had to go back
yeah.
and make sure they were actually constitutional.
So you're saying a case about mushrooms could have killed the Got Milk campaign.
Possibly.
Wow.
They had to be able to show
what?
That their advertising campaigns
right.
weren't just standalone efforts. Like, we're not just trying to sell more milk.
Right.
They had to show that it was part of this bigger system
okay.
that had real regulations about quality control,
yeah.
price regulations, all that kind of stuff.
So they couldn't be just renting out dairy farmers' voices to push a message.
Exactly.
Okay. So there had to be some real regulatory meat on those bones.
Mm-hmm.
But what about industries that aren't as heavily regulated? Like, I'm thinking craft breweries,
right.
organic farms, or how about, what about solar
panels?
Solar panels.
Mm.
Let's say the government decides that, look, everyone should have solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
We want to mandate solar panel ads,
yeah.
even if it's not part of some big energy policy.
Right.
Could they get away with that after United Foods?
Well, that's a question.
That's a great question.
That gets to the heart of what United Foods actually decided.
Okay, so we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
We're going to explore that a little deeper. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
So that hypothetical about solar panels,
yeah.
that really gets to the heart of what United Foods actually decided. It's not enough for the government to just say, hey, this is good for the industry, so everybody chip in
right.
for some ads. They can't compel speech in this way
okay.
without that more comprehensive regulatory scheme in place.
Got it. So even if Congress is like, look, solar panels are the future,
right.
clean energy, everybody needs to get on board.
Yeah.
They can't just hijack the energy industry's marketing budget
exactly.
to spread the message.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
There needs to be more to it than we think this is good, so you have to pay for it.
Right. That's basically what United Foods said. The government can't force people or businesses to pay
right.
to subsidize speech that they disagree with, especially yeah. if it's primarily about
right.
pushing a particular message. Like, if they're trying to sell you on a certain idea.
So the government needs a bigger game plan than just let's run some ads.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's where I get a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
Because just how comprehensive does this regulatory scheme have to be?
That's a good question. Like, where's the line between a genuine regulatory framework,
right,
and just a bunch of rules that are cobbled together to justify making people pay for the government's message?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And honestly, United Foods left us with a bit of a gray area there.
So lawyers all across the country are still kind of scratching their heads a little bit.
Yeah, for
sure. Trying to figure out how to apply this.
Absolutely. And that's why this is such a fascinating area of law.
Right.
Because it really makes you think about those boundaries of government power when it comes to speech.
Yeah.
Especially, like we said, commercial speech.
So essentially the court was saying the regulatory scheme has to be substantial enough to justify the speech.
Exactly.
It can't just be like a flimsy excuse to make people pay for the government's pet project.
Right. You can't just slap a few regulations on and then say, aha, now we can make you pay for these ads.
So there has to be some real substance to it. I'm with you. So I think I'm starting to see why this is such a big deal for lawyers.
But it sounds like there are still a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah, are.
Like, how do we even define comprehensive in this context? Are we talking about a specific number of regulations, a certain level of economic impact? Like, what are we looking at?
Right. And that's the deal, Lynch, because the court didn't give us a checklist. It's more about looking at everything, all the circumstances, and then figuring out, does the government have a legitimate and substantial interest in regulating this industry?
So is that interest strong enough to justify compelling this speech?
Exactly.
All right. So lawyers need to be ready to make some pretty nuanced arguments.
For sure.
Weighing those government interests against the free speech rights.
It's all about that balance.
It's about balance.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like United Foods created quite the ripple effect.
It did.
And not just for, you know, the world of agriculture.
Definitely not.
I mean, this goes way beyond mushrooms and milk.
Absolutely. Think about healthcare, tech, energy. Any industry where the government might be tempted to compel speech as part of their regulations.
Okay, so let's say Congress is concerned about childhood obesity.
Okay.
And they want to mandate these warning labels on sugary drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be considered compelled speech?
Yeah.
Under United Foods?
That's a great example because it shows just how tricky these issues can be.
Right.
Because on one hand, warning labels are definitely compelling companies to say something that they may not agree with.
Right. The soda companies might be like, hold on, these labels are misleading.
Right.
They're unfairly stigmatizing our product.
Exactly. But then on the other hand, you could see the government saying, we have a compelling interest here in protecting public health.
Right. Protecting kids.
Right. And warning labels are a reasonable way to do that.
Okay. So it sounds like it all comes down to how much weight you give to those government interests. And whether you buy that, you know, in this case, protecting public health, is a strong enough reason to justify that compelled speech.
Right. And it goes back to that idea of the regulatory scheme.
Yeah.
Like, is it comprehensive? Is it just about this one thing? Is there a bigger picture here?
So it's not always about specific economic regulations.
Yeah.
It can also be about whether the government have a broader justification for their actions.
Yeah.
Got it. So lawyers need to be thinking big picture.
Yes.
It's not just about those specific rules.
Nope.
It's also about those underlying policy goals.
Hey, why?
The why. And whether compelled speech is really necessary to achieve those goals.
Exactly. They need to be able to analyze the situation, spot those potential United Foods issues, and then make those really persuasive arguments.
So this case is going to keep lawyers busy.
Oh, yeah.
For a very long time, especially as new industries emerge.
Absolutely.
And the government is trying to figure out how to regulate them.
All the time.
And it's not just about legal strategy.
It's not just about the legal stuff.
It's about understanding the core principles at stake. United Foods reminds us that even businesses have those free speech rights.
Yes.
And the government can't just treat them like piggy banks to fund whatever message.
Walking wallets.
Walking wallets, yes.
There you go.
To promote whatever message they want.
Exactly.
Okay, it's a powerful reminder that the Constitution, this isn't just some abstract document.
It has real consequences.
It has real world consequences for how businesses operate.
Yeah.
For how the government can exercise its power.
For sure.
But before we get too philosophical about all this, I've got another hypothetical brewing.
I was going to say, you got another one, don't you?
I always have another one.
Okay.
So picture this. A group of artists, sculptors, painters, musicians.
Okay.
They're told that they have to contribute to a fund.
Okay.
And that fund is going to be used for, like, generic art appreciation campaigns.
Hmm.
Think, like, billboards with slogans like, art is good for you. Or, you know, radio ads urging people to visit museums.
All right, so like a general...
Just like generic support the arts.
Support the arts, yeah, kind of thing.
Would that fly under United Foods?
That's a really good one.
If I try.
And it really shows how tricky this whole compelled speech doctrine can be.
So we're back. We've got this art fund hypothetical.
Right.
Kind of similar to the mushroom case, but something feels a little different.
Yeah, it's tough because art is in this weird spot.
Right.
Legally speaking, I mean,
okay,
you could say that forcing artists to fund these like generic promotions,
yeah,
is definitely compelling them to support speech that maybe they don't totally agree with.
Right. Some artists might think these like art is good for you campaigns are just cheesy. Like, come on.
Yeah, they're corny.
Or they don't represent their style at all.
Exactly.
Right. And these artists are already out there.
Right.
Promoting their own work.
Yeah, they're hustling.
It's not like the government needs to step in to create like a demand for art.
Right.
Right.
But here's the other side of that.
Okay.
Art is often seen as this like public good. Good. Something that benefits all of us.
Right.
And the government, they have a long history of supporting the arts.
Yeah, for sure.
Funding museums, public art.
Yeah. So are you saying, unlike mushrooms, where it was really about boosting sales,
right,
for the industry, here with art, there's maybe a stronger argument for that government involvement?
It's possible. They could definitely argue that, like, promoting art appreciation, yeah, is really important for, you know, a good society.
A well-rounded society.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it all comes down to how much weight the courts would give,
right,
to that government interest.
Yeah.
And whether promoting art just generally is really a legitimate government function.
Exactly. And this goes back to that idea from, yeah, United Foods about that comprehensive regulatory scheme.
Right.
It doesn't always have to be about like specific economic regulations.
Okay.
It can also be about whether the government has just a broader justification for doing something.
So if the government could show that this art fund was part of some larger effort.
Yeah. If it was tied into education or...
Yeah, like... public art installations,
right,
grants for struggling artists,
something like that,
maybe they'd have a better chance.
Exactly. They have to show it's not just like taking money from artists.
Yeah,
it's part of this like bigger strategy.
Okay.
To promote something that, you know, they have a reason to be involved in,
right,
legally speaking, of course.
Okay, so even with United Foods kind of setting some boundaries,
mm-hmm,
it sounds like there are still these gray areas.
Absolutely.
When you get into compelled speech.
Especially when you're talking about...
So especially with stuff that's hard to define.
Right. Like, what is art?
Yeah. What is art? What is free speech even?
Yeah. Big questions.
Big questions.
Yeah.
So this is why this case is so important.
It really is.
For lawyers to understand.
It doesn't give us all the answers, but it gives us a framework.
A way to think about it.
Yeah. To think about these issues and to have these really important conversations about... like, what are the limits,
yeah,
of government power when we're talking about speech?
Balancing individual rights.
Right. Individual rights against...
against what the government wants to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it sounds like this United Foods case.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every lawyer.
Yeah, no matter.
No matter what you specialize in.
What you do.
Should have it on their radar.
Absolutely. It has implications for so many fields.
Yeah, it really does.
And it raises questions that are still being debated today.
And for everyone out there who maybe isn't a lawyer,
mm-hmm,
the big takeaway here is that your right to speak freely.
This is a good one.
Also means you have the right to not be forced to say something,
right,
that you don't agree with.
Even if it's for a good cause.
Even if it's for a supposedly good cause.
Yeah, they can't make you say it.
They can't.
Mm.
Okay, so there you have it. United States v. United Foods. A case about... mushrooms,
right, yeah,
that ended up having this huge impact on how we think about free speech in the commercial world.
Absolutely. From marketing campaigns to government regulations.
It's a lot to think about.
It is. And those concurrences, we can't forget about those.
So many layers to this case.
Yeah, so many.
So many moving parts.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, yeah. It's a great reminder.
It is.
That the law is always evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Cases like this, they really challenge us to think critically about these big ideas.
Right. Those fundamental principles.
Yeah, that shape our society.
Exactly.
So next time you're grilling up some portobello mushrooms.
I love portobellos.
Take a moment to appreciate the legal battles that they inspire.
I will. I will do that.
Okay. And to all the lawyers out there, remember United Foods. Think big picture. Scrutinize those regulatory schemes.
Yeah, don't take anything at face value.
Don't take anything at face value. Be ready to make those nuanced arguments.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day,
the government can't just rent out your voice.
They can't.
There you have it. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into United States via United Foods.
Always a pleasure.
Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.